stretch, you know, coming off just a huge win for those LSU Tigers, national title, Coach O getting it done. You know, Coach O has become such a folk hero. He's such an easy guy to root for. You have been a college football coach. You coached for Coach Switzer. You coached at Northern Illinois before you got into the NFL. Remind me, did you ever cross paths or have great friends that served with Coach O? Because, you know, you're a great character. People love to hear your voice. And then Coach O is an unbelievable character. What did you know of Coach O, like even going back to when he was at Ole Miss, and how surprised are you that he has become the coach of a national championship college team?
Well, you know, I think it was either my first or second year when I was with the Cowboys, there was a kind of a late-round free agent tight end that was coming out of USC. And I got sent to go to L.A. to the pro day, watch this kid, you know, work him out, just kind of find out, you know, just basically a scouting trip when I had moved over to the coaching side of the Cowboys. And so when I got on campus, SC had not hired Pete Carroll yet. So the only kind of liaison between the two staffs was Ed Orgeron. And he was the kind of the guy that was on the staff at USC that was in charge of kind of giving you the rundown on the players, their players that were coming out. I mean, you know, and obviously at USC they had 12 or 15 pro prospects. So all the scouts and coaches and everybody, you'd go in and sit in a room, and Coach O would give everybody kind of a rundown on every kid, kind of, you know, a little bit about his background, a little bit about if he'd been in any trouble while he'd been at USC, and so on and so forth. You know, answer all your questions about the kids. And then, obviously, they had their pro day there that day. So, anyway, it was the first time I'd ever been around him at all. I mean, I'd never heard his voice. I'd never heard him. I mean, I'd never heard him. And, he gets up in front of the room and starts talking, and you're like, golly, what's wrong with his voice? I mean, did he get punched in the throat or something when he was a kid? Well, I mean, anyway, then you start doing a little bit of homework. I mean, then you find out, wow, well, this guy, you know, he kind of cut his teeth in the coaching business, working for Jimmy Johnson, and then obviously after that he got the head job at Ole Miss. But I mean, just to watch him get up and lead a meeting room, and you're talking about this is about 1996 or 97 at USC, and you know, you could tell then he had that leadership quality. He had that commanding voice. He had an ability to get up in a meeting room, lead a meeting, never mind the fact that he had done it, you know, with young men. I mean, he was doing it with – and there were a lot of – I mean, there were a lot of pro coaches there. I mean, I remember Marvin Lewis was there. I remember Bill Cowher was there that day. So, anyway, to see him get up and lead that meeting at that time, you knew that guy had a little something about him.
Yeah, and it was before, it was when he wasn't saying go Tigers at the end of it, but no man has ever ended up in a more appropriate or a better fit for a job, because he comes from, what's it called, Stretch, La Fouche or something like that?
La Fouche. You didn't hear our man Ian Fitzsimmons speaking a little. He was speaking a little about that broken French to him the other night.
Yeah, Lee. Ian said that my best friend, Kyle Whittingham, from La Fouche. Oh, man. I saw Ian jumped in there last night after they were finished with Joe Burrow, and he was Johnny on the spot. He's got that full beard, and he's got that beautiful sport coat that he wears. Stretch, as you kind of watched that thing last night, Steven wants to ask you about the quarterback situation. I'll let him do all that because he's actually done some research on some of the greatest seasons ever. So he's got one of those all-encompassing questions. But I want you to you remember that receiver you liked at LSU so much? Because I remember you telling me DJ Chark a couple of years ago,
yeah.
And he's actually ended up being a pretty nice NFL receiver from what I can tell. But, I mean, that's – you talk about coming at you in waves, Ja'Marr Chase, and then finally you start working Jefferson, and then late it's like, oh, yeah, there's Marshall, There's number six catching one in the end zone. I mean, yeah, Burrow's awesome. We know that. But the talent that LSU is bringing in now, this is sort of next level type. I mean, again, Alabama's got great receivers. We know Auburn brings in incredible players. Clemson has great players. But Higgins and some of those guys from Clemson, they couldn't match up with those receivers. You know what I mean? In terms of, like, your best players against their best players. I mean, stretch that. That was it. I mean, put your NFL cap on. Those are monster prospects, it seemed like, every one of them.
Yeah, I was down there last spring, Matt, and the one thing I noticed, I'm really good friends with Mickey Joseph, and that's not a friend card I'm playing. I've been around Mickey a long time. I had recruited Mickey when I was at Oklahoma, and he was an option quarterback, ended up going to Nebraska. Anyway, long and short of it, Mickey's probably 5'10", 5'11". I go down to watch them. I was down there in Baton Rouge and go that morning to a spring practice. And Mickey stays coaching the receivers, but he's got the receivers around him. And literally, I'm kind of looking around the field, and I can't even see Mickey. These guys were towering over him. And when you obviously, when you go in and you look at players, do you ever really get enamored with size? I'm not sure that really is something that triggers you when you've been in the NFL. But when you see receivers that are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", you're like, oh, my goodness. I mean, yeah. I immediately grabbed my phone and took a picture of that because it was really one of those moments that you're just like, wow, now that really is a different size guy. And I think that the carryover, what's happened between, kind of Nick Saban to he got that thing back rolling, to Les Miles and how he recruited. Now, obviously, Coach O has stepped in there and recruited. I mean, they have gone after, again, always had defensive backs. They've had defensive backs there forever. They've gone after those next-level guys at every position, and I think that was evident last night.
It is Glenn Stretch Smith, former Cowboys scout and coach, and also the resident scout for ESPN Central Texas, joining the Matt Mosley Show with Stephen Simcox. Stephen?
Stretch, it's really staggering the numbers that Joe Burrow put up this year. He threw for over 5,600 yards. He threw 60 touchdown passes. So I've been looking at other great seasons by college quarterbacks in recent memory. You know, obviously, like Cam Newton had such a great year at Auburn, Vince Young in the national title season at Texas, Johnny Manziel at A&M. But Burrow's stats at least kind of blow those out of the water. So how do you feel as far as putting the season that Joe Burrow had in perspective among some of the greatest in college football? And then from a scouting perspective, Joe's a guy that was kind of just a middle-of-the-road quarterback in college football 2 years ago. How do you see him as an NFL prospect? Because it's been such a dramatic change from his junior to senior year as far as production goes.
Well, I think when you look at really, let's think about how this happened. He graduated from college in 3 years. So he goes to LSU and immediately can start taking graduate online classes. I mean, so he's immersing himself in football. Now year one, Steve Ensminger, and he still is the offensive coordinator, he didn't have the influence of Joe Brady. But then they went out and got the influence of Joe Brady year two. Now, you mix all of that together, a guy who's really almost become a pro football player because of the time that he's allowed to spend. He's out of school. I don't know I don't know how the NCAA rule, that rule works, but I'm going to guess that 20-hour rule is out the door as far as time when you're an undergraduate student versus time when you're a graduate student and you're playing football. And you look at the transition of what LSU did as far as going to the spread offense, taking Joe Brady in there, bringing, what our New Orleans Saints, kind of those concepts. I mean, you saw him last night get into a tight sets, and immediately they take off that slot receiver and run the fade to him. We're back to the big guy who can out-jump you. They create matchup nightmares for you, even with a running back. And so I think that when you ask me the question, initially it's, wow, look at what he got to do, because he graduated from college in 3 years, and then he went to the best place he could go to, and then he's a late bloomer on top of that. So all of those things, I think, really contributed to what was an unbelievable season, what was unbelievable statistically what they did, and then how they did it, how they accomplished it, and what they did over a two-year time frame, because he went from the Ohio State offense to the Steve Ensminger offense to the Joe Brady offense literally in a three-year time frame. So to me, again, putting your scouting hat on, the first thing you say is, this guy is a very smart player. And, I mean, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals and you're not looking at that already and you don't realize that before you even go in there to talk to him, then I'm not sure what you're looking at. But talent-wise, I mean, he is a very good arm talent guy too. And that's, to me, that's what you want in a leader. That's what you want in an organization. And if the Cincinnati Bengals don't take him number one, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, it is. They certainly have to take him. I was looking back at one of our legends and friends who was the number 11 quarterback of all time on that 150th vote they did, Stretch. It just tells you, 1963, Roger Staubach. Wasn't it awesome to see him up there with Earl Campbell, a guy that played before you at the University of Texas a few years before, but that was voted the number 7 college football player of all time. But to show you how, I mean, we know the game's changed, but I thought this was interesting. Roger, Stretch, had 7 touchdowns his Heisman year. He threw for 7 touchdowns. And Joe Burrow just threw for 60 touchdowns. Hey, last thing for you, Stretch, real quick. I just wanted to get your take on this. This staff that Mike McCarthy's putting together in Dallas, Mike Nolan as the defensive coordinator, and now it looks like this young guy from Texas A&M as the DB's coach, Jim Tomsula at defensive line, and then of course on the offensive side of the ball, I don't know. The more I hear, the more marginalized. I don't really know if I see a spot for Kellen Moore. I'm not so sure Kellen shouldn't have headed out to college or some of these other opportunities. But what are you making of this staff so far from McCarthy? To me, it looks like a much more experienced staff that is going to be here with the Cowboys.
Well, no question. I mean, let's think about what happened this year when everybody was thinking, do we need to, you know, should we be getting rid of Jason right there after about week 10 or week 11 of the season? And then you looked around and you were like, well, who are you going to make? Who can you make the interim head coach? There wasn't anybody. Well, that's exactly opposite of what's going on now. You got guys, Joe Philbin's been a head coach, Tom Sula's been a head coach, Mike Nolan's been a head coach. All of those guys have been head coaches in the NFL. So you can tell McCarthy is changing kind of the leverage of what he's doing by hiring experienced guys. And I think that's exactly what he's going to need to do, because going to the West Coast offense, changing entirely the verbiage that you've got going on in the building offensively, I'm sure they're going to change the verbiage defensively. You got to have a bunch of experienced guys in that building. He realizes that, and that's exactly what he's doing. As far as Kellen Moore, Kellen Moore should have taken, if he was offered the offensive coordinator job at the University of Washington, he certainly should have taken that. Now, I don't know that that's really the path that he wants to go. I mean, maybe he wants to stay in the NFL, and maybe he's got some other options in the NFL. I don't know that, but it certainly looks like initially with the moving Doug Neusmeyer from tight ends to quarterbacks, it certainly looks as if they're telling Kellen Moore, you know what, Kellen, you better go get yourself a job here at the Senior Bowl.
Yep. Listen, somebody saw Kellen Moore over at the health camp in Waco. So, let's get those rumors started. Kellen Moore to the Baylor Bears. You know I had to end it like that.
All right, Mr. Conspiracy Mosley, I got you.
Thank you, Stretch. I appreciate it. Always good to visit with you.
Hey, guys, have a great day. Appreciate you having me on.